Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Right Voices. I'm Drew Bond, the president and CEO of C3 Solutions. And today I'm joined by Congressman August Pfluger, who represents Texas's 11th congressional district, which includes Midland, Odessa, and San Angelo, among others. Congressman Pfluger serves on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, the House Homeland Security Committee, and is a member of the Conservative Climate Caucus. Congressman, thank you for joining us. It's a real privilege to have you. How are you doing?
Oh, Drew, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on. I'm doing great. I know there's lots of important topics to discuss, but I'll just start by saying we had a commitment to America when we won the majority, and we are methodically checking off our commitment to America to make sure that the American public knows that every single day we are trying to unwind and take back what the Biden administration has done to harm our country. And none of those subjects are more important than energy, because it affects every single American. So thank you as a lead in to having me on to talk about some of these issues.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. And I appreciate you bringing up energy, because energy definitely is part of the climate equation. So let me ask you first, you know, the Conservative Climate Caucus is a caucus that you've joined just recently. Being that you're a member from the Permian Basin, to some people it might seem sort of, counter to your roots. But, you know, tell us a little bit about why you decided to join that caucus.
Well, it's simple. First off, the climate is not an issue that my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have some sort of supermajority thought on. You know, actually, when you talk about conservation, when you talk about what we do with our land, how we preserve our water and our resources, that is a very conservative, that's where conservative comes from. That's a conservative mindset. And so if we're not at the table pushing back on some of the fallacies and some of the myths and some of the, maybe in some cases lies about what's going on, then we're going to be absent. We're not part of the discussion, and the public narrative can take a life of its own. And so joining something that we have already been proactively doing, which is reducing harmful emissions, taking care of our land, leaving it better for the next generation. We've been doing that for decades. My family's been doing it for seven generations in the state of Texas. And so this was a natural fit. It also, it fits very, very nicely with what we do on the energy front. And so joining that and having a proactive voice to tell the American public the truth about what's actually happening with regards to the United States and our leadership in the world is very important.
And you've been in Congress now for 2 years, two terms, I should say. But and you've probably seen a shift even in that time from, you know, the way conservatives talk about this issue and are willing to engage on it. I know it was an issue that for the longest time we conservatives would run from this issue. We were afraid that it was, you know, a slippery slope to socialism. But maybe talk about how that's changed in your perspective as, you know, having been in Congress now for two sessions.
Yeah, you're right. I think conservatives did run from this issue. That's been part of the problem. And we need a message that is truthful, a message that tells the progress that we've made. And here's the shift. The biggest shift that I've seen is that when the Democrat Party comes in and they say, we're not going to drill for hydrocarbons or fossil fuels in the United States, we're not going to mine critical minerals here, we're not going to do all these things. Well, inevitably, what happens is we outsource those to other countries, namely China. And China doesn't care one bit about the planet. They could care less about signing up for any sort of Paris Climate Accords. They've not signed that. In fact, John Kerry, the president's emissary for climate, was in China recently, and they basically said, yeah, it's very nice that you're here, but we're not going to sign any sort of deal with you. Their stance when it comes to the planet is much different than ours. We have the environmental laws, we have the experience. And so by doing the energy production here, by not outsourcing it, we're actually taking a proactive stance in helping the world and in handing the next generation a better world in that case. And so this is what I think the shift has been from Republicans. You know, even in the last 2.5 to 3 years, we're meeting this head on, and we're going to get the facts out there. And there are a lot of myths that I think people need to understand. And most importantly, we need to get education early on in schools, and this is where my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been massively successful, is they're getting a hold of 5-, 6-, 7-year-old children in schools, and they're telling them that fossil fuels are bad. They're telling them that using our own resources is bad for the environment. That's not true. And especially when you compare it to the environmental record of countries like China.
Yeah, so you mentioned H.R. 1, and obviously, you know, because the bill is numbered one, that means it's a top priority of the Republican Party in Congress, of the Speaker. That bill actually included a bill that I think was your bill, Natural Gas Tax Repeal Act. Talk about that a little bit. Why is that important?
Well, thank you, Drew. And that was a great bill. And it just shows you where the Republican Party is, that we want to do energy production here in the United States. We want to unleash our potential to use the resources wisely that we have here and not outsource it to China. And part of that is that the Biden administration last year passed a new tax on producers, a new tax on upstream, midstream, downstream, any part of the value chain in the hydrocarbon and oil and gas industry. They are going to tax methane emissions. And I'm here to tell you that the methane emissions reduction that industry has done in partnership with many state governments, but industry has really largely led on this issue, 40% reductions in these harmful emissions, including methane emissions over the past 10 to 15 years alone. At the very same time, that's overall reduction, at the very same time that we have doubled the production of oil and gas. And so that tells me right there that we're already on the right path. We don't need a new tax. We know that that tax will be passed on to the consumer. And so we're battling the administration on this issue. And by the way, the EPA is the one that is in charge of this tax. And the last time I checked, they're not a taxation entity. They don't have the mechanism or the infrastructure to actually enforce it or do what's necessary to tell producers and industry how that they should comply with this. So we're going to continue to fight against this. It's a bad idea. Let's use incentives to help continue industry on the innovation path to reduce those emissions.
So that actually brings up the topic in my mind of, if the left thinks that taxing is a solution, to your point, you know, let's innovate our way out of this challenge. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions, you can do it through efficiency. You can also do it by capturing the carbon and either storing it or using it. I think talk a little bit about this bill that you and Congressman Crenshaw just introduced called the Primacy Certainty Act of 2023. What does that do for helping streamline carbon capture?
Well, thank you for bringing that up too, because I think this is really the fight in a federalism type of government where the state should have primacy over certain things. The federal government has said in the Clean Air Act and other acts that have been passed, but specifically in the Clean Air Act, that there are certain things that they are going to be in charge of, and then everything else is going to be left to the states. Well, when it comes to sequestering CO2, when it comes to having the ability to permit certain wells, and in this case, Class 6 wells, we believe that the states have primacy over that. West Virginia versus the EPA is a perfect example that gives me reason to believe that that's true. And so we're pushing very hard to have Texas as the primacy and permitting authority for Class 6 wells, which we believe will help continue, you know, when it comes to GHGs and other issues. But let me just say real quick, Drew, I'm not convinced that carbon dioxide is the problem. And I think this is one of the myths that the activist and specifically the radical side of the Democrat Party would have you believe. I don't necessarily think that that is the issue. And we know that, you know, for millennia that the climate has been changing. And this was well before we had fossil fuels burning. And so I think we need to be very, very careful at what we're teaching in our schools, how we approach this issue, and doing things responsibly. And so, this just goes to show you, I think, when you have a primacy bill where I'm fighting for the state of Texas to have jurisdiction over this, they know a lot of these issues much better than the federal government. And certainly when it comes to the innovative approach that we've taken over the last 100 years, they're going to have a much better record on innovating and getting to better solutions.
One more question for you. I know you've got to run, but you know, you've been an outspoken opponent of the Biden administration's efforts to declare a climate emergency. You've partnered up with Senator Shelley Moore Capito on some legislation to combat this. Tell us why you think declaring a climate emergency is the wrong approach, and what is the right approach?
Well, it's just like everything else that the administration has done. From day one, they've used the power of the executive order, legislating by fiat from the White House, to change the regulatory nature of the executive branch. And I don't believe that they should have the ability to declare a climate crisis and then change the way we either drive vehicles, you know, mandating an electric vehicle fleet, banning gas-burning stoves in homes, and a host of other things that would affect our economy immediately and overnight. This is something that the Congress, Article 1, specifically says in the Constitution, that the power of the purse, which there would be money tied to these executive orders that the administration is looking to do. Article 1 specifically says this needs to come from Congress, the House in particular, as duly elected officials that get to go back and talk to our constituents about this. So it's much larger than just fighting the notion of a climate crisis. And I don't believe that we're in a climate crisis. I think that we are in a process of doing the best we can to hand the next generation a better world. And so I think it's a fundamental difference that the administration would have you believe that the earth is going to, you know, end shortly. And I just don't believe that. And so we're not going to give them the power to act on that and implement harmful policies, new taxes, and overbearing regulations on the American public. We're just not going to abdicate that power to the executive branch.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, thank you for your leadership. I really appreciate, you know, how you're working to promote free market solutions and to show how, you know, those can actually improve our energy security and our environment, and how that all really does result in, you know, a better climate to the extent that, you know, we have control over it. And I think you and I probably both agree that there's God-made climate and there's man-made, you know, impacts on that climate. And we want to reduce and steward the part of it that we're responsible for. So thank you for your leadership in all of this.
Well, Drew, thank you. It's a pleasure to come on your show. And I'm so glad you said that those words, to the extent that we can control it. And I think that's the biggest fight we have right now, is that nobody wants smog. We've cut those harmful emissions out. We've done a really good job over the past 30, 40, 50 years in that. But we cannot abandon the 330 million Americans who need access to energy every single day. And the industry that I'm fighting for right now is not just hydrocarbons, it's reliable forms of energy that the administration is assaulting every single day. And I want to continue to see our nation be the strongest and most secure nation on earth. And in my opinion, it starts with energy.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, thanks again. This has been another edition of Right Voices. To read more about Congressman Pfluger's efforts and how the private sector is tackling these issues, you can check out our news magazine called C3. It's at c3newsmag.com. And until then, thank you again, Congressman Pfluger, and have a great day.
Thank you.